You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Locked On Jets podcast, it's Friday, September 20th, 2019, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. As always, if you like the show, subscribe to it. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, you can do it on Google Podcasts, you can do it on Spotify, you can do it on your favorite podcast venue, and we will deliver this show every morning to your device as it's posted. Also, if you enjoy the show, throw up a good review. We certainly appreciate that. Helps us out quite a bit. It's week three of the NFL season. The Jets will be traveling to Foxborough this weekend, their annual trip to Foxborough. They will be taking on the New England Patriots. It's a game that's looking like a tall order for the Jets. 23-point underdogs at the point we're recording this show. Maybe the biggest underdog spread the Jets have faced in their franchise history. Bigger than a game. We talked about this a little bit on the show earlier this week. Bigger underdogs than they were in a game in 2007. I remember that game. And it's kind of tough to conceive of a game where the Jets are bigger underdogs than they were against New England in 2007, because week one of that year, the Patriots came into the Meadowlands at the old stadium and just annihilated the Jets. Randy Moss went crazy in his Patriots debut. It was just a brutal performance by the Jets and a phenomenal performance by the Patriots. I remember after that game, this was 2007. This was the year the Pats went 18-1. They won all 16 regular season games, lost to the Super Bowl to the Giants. I remember thinking, man, the Patriots after that game, I was thinking, that's probably too bold to say the Patriots have a shot at going 16-0. But, I mean, they looked really good in that game. So, anyway, that was the Spygate game where the Jets reported the Patriots because they were videotaping signals to the league. And the backstory is that the second meeting of that year was in Foxborough, and the Patriots were a juggernaut, and the Jets were having a terrible season. They were on their way to a 4-12 year. And I mean, everybody thought the Patriots were just going to throttle the Jets. They thought the Jets had no shot in that game. And the Jets did not have a shot in the game, but they actually played a pretty competitive game, a surprisingly competitive game, lost, I believe, 20-10. Kellen Clemens started the game for the Jets, but left after an injury. Adrian Clark, that was the year Adrian Clark was playing left guard for the Jets, which was a catastrophe situation. It was, you know, akin to Spencer Long playing center. I believe he got beat for a block early in the game. So Chad Pennington, who had been benched, came in. Jets actually were fairly competitive. They showed some fight in that game. You know, they did lose, so that's the bad news. But I guess if you're looking for some positive news, if you're looking for a competitive game, that game kind of hangs out in memory. And this is, I mean, if the Jets somehow win this game this weekend with a practice squad quarterback making his first NFL start against a Patriots team that, you know, perhaps after the first 2 weeks looks as much of, this may be the biggest juggernaut Patriots team since 2007. And we'll see how the season goes. I'm saying May, but I mean, they look really good. And a Jets team that really just doesn't look like they can get it out of their own way through the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, this would be one of the biggest upsets in NFL regular season history. And if you follow the show, you know, like, I like to qualify my statements. I always believe any given Sunday, anything can happen. You see terrible teams beat good teams every year in the NFL. But man, this is, I don't see how the Jets could do this. So maybe on Monday we'll be talking about how the Jets somehow shocked the world and shocked me. But on today's show, we'll preview the game and I'll offer a key player, a key matchup, and a key to the game. I don't even know if I want to say key to victory, because, man, this is a tough matchup for the Jets. But, hey, I'm going to be watching, so I guess, you know, I guess there's got to be some degree of hope if I'm going to still watch this game. Not like I'm going to skip it. And I'm going to cheer on the Jets, and we'll see. Maybe the Jets surprise me. Maybe the Jets surprise all of us. So let's start on the offense. And on offense, my key player is going to be Le'Veon Bell, who is off to just an incredible start. If you look in context, you always have to put numbers in context, but if you look in context of what he's doing on the field, where his run blocking is not very good, the Jets don't really have many weapons, they're not doing anything in the passing game, the scheme's not really helping him out. I mean, he's a one-man show just trying to drag this offense to respectability, and the Jets are going to need it this week. They're certainly going to need him to keep the team in reasonable downs and distances. They're going to need to lean on him in this game. I mean, he's going to see a heavy workload. You have an inexperienced quarterback in Luke Falk. And I mean, I can tell you, after reviewing the Cleveland film when Falk was in there, I mean, there were lots of moments where he just was not making good reads. I think there was, The numbers look good because he padded the stats a little bit against prevent defenses, but man, he looked every bit the project quarterback that you would expect a practice squad third stringer to look like. And that's not a knock on Falk. I mean, Falk should be running the practice squad right now. Falk should be running the scout team right now. He was last week, probably. I don't want to get on Falk. And the biggest thing is that your expectations for Luke Falk have to be pretty low. So that means Le'Veon Bell is going to have to carry a big load. I mean, he's the one premium weapon the Jets have on the offensive side of the football. So, I mean, in any week, the Jets need Bell to perform well, but especially in this game, they're going to need him to make plays. They're going to need to make something out of nothing. And he's been doing a great job making something out of nothing all year. He's really, I think of all the Jets you can talk, he's the guy you have no complaints about right now. And this was a guy who was a bit of a gamble heading into the season. People were wondering how he would respond to getting paid. With the effort, still be absolutely no question about it. I mean, garbage time of a blowout loss to Cleveland. The guy's still out there fighting for every yard. You have to be very happy with what you've gotten from Bell through the first 2 weeks of the season. And the Jets are going to lean on him quite a bit in this game. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with Nate Hairston. And he's a key player because he plays corner and because the Jets just have a lot of problematic matchups against this New England receiving core, whether you're talking Antonio Brown, who we're still expecting to play, Josh Gordon. It's a tough boy. This is tough for the Jets. And I say this for Hairston. I mean, Hairston, I was impressed by what he did Monday night against Cleveland. And look, only time will tell whether this guy's a keeper. One good game does not make you a long-term player for the Jets, but I was impressed. I'm as impressed by him as any corner I've seen in a while for the Jets. So he stepped into the lineup. He showed he belonged. He was not afraid to lay a big hit when it was necessary. I mean, his coverage was, he got beat by Beckham on the long play early in the game, but that was, I mean, I don't see how he could cover that any better. It was just top-notch execution by the Browns, by Mayfield putting the ball where it needed to be and Beckham making a great catch. It was flagged on a holding call, which I'm still not entirely sure that was a good call. I think it was a very, at best, I think it was a 50-50 call. Like they easily could have not thrown the flag. I'm not going to get on him that hard for that. We'll see what Hairston is, but Jets are going to need him to play a big game against this very talented New England receiving core. And we'll see if he plays the way he did last week. I mean, I don't know that I'd say the Jets are in a good position to win the game, but certainly would solve one of the problems the Jets have. And I mean, the Jets have a lot of problems in this matchup, and at least if you get one corner who can, and this is going to be a good test for him because these are very talented receivers the Patriots have. So if he holds up okay against these guys, you know, two strong weeks heading into the bye, maybe you think, okay, well, maybe the Jets have something at corner. So, you know, as much as we're talking about this game, I think for the rest of the season, for the future of the Jets, Hairston's a guy worth watching in this game because this is going to be a matchup that tests him and, you know, will give us another chance to see what he can do. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit and no waiting at the pharmacy. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color BlueChew.com. You get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Locked On Jets podcast on a Friday show, getting ready for week 3 of the NFL season. Jets in action this Sunday at New England. 0-2, trying to avoid an 0-3 start against the Patriots team that's looked really, really good at the early stage of this season. And the Jets will head into their bye after this weekend. It'll be a well-needed early bye for this team, which has suffered a lot of injuries to key players and probably could just use a mental break after really disastrous start to the season. We'll see whether the Jets can pull off what would be one of the biggest upsets in regular season NFL history if they can somehow knock off these New England Patriots. We're previewing the game today. Let's move on to the key matchups on offense and defense. And on offense, this is a bit, you know, I'm getting a bit imaginative with the matchups, but I think that this is kind of the matchup on offense. It's going to be Luke Falk against Bill Belichick. And Belichick loves to, and Belichick mixes it up as well as anybody. He just has an encyclopedic knowledge of defensive schemes. He can go deeper into an arsenal than probably any coach out there because he just knows so much. He knows the nuances of so many. He can implement so many different things from week to week, more than any other coach. And this is not the coach you ideally want a rookie quarterback making his first career start against, but that's a situation that Jets don't get to choose their situation. That's the situation the Jets are in. So question is, can Luke Falk make smart reads? I don't want to get too hard on him because it's not like he shouldn't be playing right now. And he's just in the lineup because the Jets have suffered injury. It's not his fault he's in the lineup. And it's not the Jets' fault he's in the lineup either. It's just an unfortunate situation where the Jets have suffered injuries and they have to throw him in there probably before he's ready, if he ever will be ready. And, throughout preseason, I thought he was a guy who leans towards checkdowns, probably to his detriment. And that's something I thought I saw a lot of in Cleveland, and including there was a big 4th-and-2 play right before the Odell Beckham long touchdown that kind of put the game out of reach. It was 16-3. Jets were driving. They're in the red zone. There's a 4th-and-2 play where Falk had Jamison Crowder wide open over the middle and checked it down to Le'Veon Bell instead, short of the sticks. That's kind of the story for Falk. I think he was slow to recognize things. And again, this is what you would expect for a 6th-round pick year two who starts on the practice squad. I mean, that's not really a big knock on him. It's just it's the reality of the situation. So can Falk somehow summon a way to decipher what Belichick's going to throw a ton of crazy looks at him? Can Falk decipher things quickly enough when Belichick comes with heavy blitzes, which is something I wouldn't be shocked to see Belichick come after Falk with a few heavy blitzes on third down, force him to speed up his process. Will he be able to handle that? The Jets have had a lot of issues up front as well. It's a really tall order to ask Luke Falk to go in there and try and win this game. And when you're talking about a guy, he's going up against a guy who's probably a top three all-time coach, who just knows so much about defense. Boy, it's a tough matchup, but it's a matchup that could dictate the game. And if Falk somehow figures this stuff out, maybe the Jets can have a shot to pull this thing out. That would be a surprise. Defensive side of the ball, my key matchup is going to be Brian Poole against Julian Edelman. And I tell you, I think Poole's done a decent job. And it's interesting when you watch. Greg Williams is really kind of mixing up how he uses Poole. I mean, there were a lot of instances against the Browns where he was essentially used as a deep middle safety. They essentially were using him as a free safety, and they were using he looked like he had pretty good range because they were lining him up in the slot pre-snap. They were lining him up as a potential blitzer, and then he dropped to the deep middle. There were other times where he was kind of used as a linebacker, which is not that unusual from a slot corner, because you have to remember a slot corner is typically replacing a linebacker on the field. So, and he's kind of stationed near the middle of the field, kind of close to where a lot of linebackers would line up, so they have to help in run support. So that's not that unusual, but he's also used obviously as a slot corner. And New England is an offense that always makes heavy use of the slot receivers. Julian Edelman's off to a big start this year, one of Brady's favorite targets, target probably Brady's most comfortable with of the current players on his roster. So in the Jets, when you're building the Jets, when you're building a team in the AFC East, that's a position you're looking at quite with a great deal of interest when you're building your team, the slot corner position, because you know you're facing New England, you know you're facing Edelman, you know you're facing a team that loves to throw a lot of passes out to the slot receivers. So your slot corner becomes a key player, and that's you look at why the Jets brought him in. I think one of the big reasons the Jets brought him in is two games against New England, and now it's up to him to show that he can hold up against Julian Edelman. This is going to be Poole again. I think he's played pretty well in the early going. I think Greg Williams has been pretty creative with his use, but in this game, he's going to stay in the slot. He's going to stick to the slot, and he's going to have to do the job against Julian Edelman. And it's no accident that I'm looking at these corners against these New England receivers, because these guys have a tall order in front of them. And if the Jets are going to have any shot of keeping this game close, it's going to need to be a big game from them. My bookie is fast and easy, and they pay when you win. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you can try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win. You get paid. The Locked On Jets podcast is coming at you here on a Friday in preparation for week 3 action in the NFL. Jets at New England Sunday in Foxborough. Now let's talk about keys to victory. And look, on the offensive side of the ball, for me, the key to victory, this is not just a key to victory against New England. This is a key for the entire rest of the season. Is the Jets need to figure out an identity on this side of the ball, because it's been very difficult to decipher what exactly they're trying to do when they're calling plays. And to me, and I've talked about this in the past, I did a full show on this weeks ago. I mean, one of the keys to play calling is you need to figure out what you're good at and go to that and build everything off that. And to me, I think Le'Veon Bell is probably the best weapon you have. So you need to figure out ways to base things off him. And then after you get him involved, hopefully you're successful. You build in some fakes to him, a fake screen where you, little misdirection where maybe you fake it to him, you throw it the other way. Obviously, play action. If you can establish the run with him early on, you force the defense to bring a safety up and simplify their coverages, and that's where maybe a Robbie on the outside and Anderson has a shot at breaking something deep. I mean, they just need to. I mean, this play calling has been very difficult. It's been very difficult to figure out what the Jets are trying to accomplish from play to play so far this season. So it's something that just has to get better. And it starts with just figuring out what you want to get out of your play calling. It comes down to figuring out an identity. That's the first thing you have to do as a play call. It's the first thing you have to do when you're developing an offense. So it starts there. And they haven't done it through the first 2 weeks. And it's not, look, there are lots of personnel issues. I'm not saying that it's all on the play calling. It's certainly not. A lot of it's on the personnel, but at some point the play calling has got, you have to call plays with a purpose. And they haven't been doing that. So that's something that's got to get better. And not just this game going forward. On the defensive side of the ball, my key to victory is, and this is more for the players than it is the scheme, but I just roll the dice. Take chances. And that can manifest itself in many ways. If you're talking about a pass rusher, try and jump the snap count, even if you're risking an offside penalty. If you're a defender, if you're a corner, and maybe there's a pass in front of you, you try and jump the route. Try and jump the route. And, those are risky plays, because if you try and jump a route, if you're right, you intercept it. If you're wrong, then your guy is going to catch the pass and have nobody behind him. But the Jets need to make splash plays to win this game. Jets cannot line this game, cannot line up. And like I said this last week, this cannot be a game of 10-play drives. This has got to be a game of splash plays for the Jets. Jets are not good enough if it's just the Jets and the Patriots going, mano y mano for four quarters. Jets need to make some big plays in this game. Jets need some one-play drives. And I think that I said this yesterday on our crossover show. I think the Jets are going to need to score a non-offensive touchdown in this game. Maybe that's on defense. Maybe it's on special teams. They're going to need to do something special to win this game, because they're far less talented. Look, if these two teams are if these two teams are full strength, nobody's hurt, Patriots are a far more talented team. The Jets down key player after key player after key player. It's a lot. I mean, it's going to just require something big to happen, and maybe more than one. It may take more than one non-offensive touchdown, because it's going to be the offense is going to have a tough time with a third string quarterback probably, and this defense is not built to stop the New England offense. So you're going to just need some big plays here or there to try and turn the tide of this game. And that's really the only way I think the Jets can stay in it. And, part of it, I don't think maybe I'm wrong. I don't think this is going to be like a 59-0 game. Maybe I'm wrong. It could be, but I do feel like the Patriots may hold a few things back. They may just hold a few things back because they know they can win this game by playing it conservatively, by playing it down the middle. I mean, there was a Week 17 game, I think 2 years ago, where Rob Gronkowski wasn't even involved, and it was almost like the Patriots didn't use him in that game because they didn't want to get him hurt for the playoffs. They knew they could win without him being part of the game plan. I mean, I think Gronk's obviously not there anymore, but it could be stuff like that where they just hold some things back because they don't want to risk injury to key players, or they don't want to put stuff on film for opponents knowing that they can just beat the Jets straight up. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but it's going to be a tough game for the Jets, and they're just going to have to they're going to have to make splash plays if they want to stay in it. And even then, it's going to be a tall order. And look, I'm not saying the Jets are going to go 0-16. I don't think the Jets are going to go 0-16. I've been saying this all week, how the Jets, I've been saying the Jets have no chance. I'm not saying the Jets are hopeless all season. This is going to be the worst team in the league. I'm just saying that the way things have lined up, this thing could not have lined up worse for the Jets. This matchup could not have lined up worse for the Jets. And if we are here Monday morning and the Jets have won this game, it will be an amazing feat. And I'll tell you, this team will deserve all the praise in the world, because there's no reasonable expectation that anybody should have that this team can pull it off. So if they do it, then you know something, your hat has to go off to this team. If they play a competitive game, to an extent, your hat has to go off to the team. And we'll see what happens on Sunday. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like the show, please subscribe to it. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify are among your choices. Leave it a good review if you like it. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday, and we'll break down what happened.